Amen. Would you join me in just praying for this word tonight? Heavenly Father, as always, we are so blessed and so thankful that you have given us your living word. God, it is our desire to ascend the mountain. It is our desire to draw to the garden where you are, Lord. And we desire to draw close to you through your word. I pray tonight that we would have hearts that are softened, that are ready to hear your voice alone, God. Would you come and do what only you can do by your spirit, we pray. We honor you tonight, God, and we bless you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Offer Up the Rebel Heart. We know that God places all throughout his word such a tremendous emphasis on what resides in our hearts. His word tells us that our character, that our level of anointing flows out of the integrity and the purity of our hearts. He places such an emphasis upon our hearts because he desires to fill us to overflowing with the power of his Holy Spirit. There is an anointing that he desires to place upon every single believer, and that is the truth of his word tonight. He desires to place an anointing for breakthrough, an anointing to see his salvation come, an anointing that we would move in the spiritual gifts, that we would be the body of Christ, that would arise in strength and power and passion for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done in the name of Jesus. What lives in our hearts relates to this anointing, and he can only fill us, change us, heal us, anoint us when we are empty. Can you say empty? Empty, you can do better than that. Empty of ungodliness, empty of unforgiveness, empty of unfaithfulness. If there is anything within our hearts that competes for God's affection to be our highest passion, our highest priority, it will affect the measure of his Holy Spirit and his anointing that resides upon us. How many want more? How many want to see God do more in his house? This word is related to this tonight. The Lord is passionate and jealous for our highest affection to be upon him because he loves us and because he has a plan. I'm so thankful that God's plan is not my plan, because his plan is better, it is greater, and has more power. But the truth tonight that we all are so aware of is that there is a war that rages against the Church of Jesus Christ. There is a war that rages, that is competing for our highest affection, that is raging against our priority to be upon loving God, living to serve and honor him. There is a war that rages against every single one of our homes, every one of our families, every one of our lives to be the people of God, to be the bride of Jesus Christ, who carry and walk in the anointing and the presence of his power. We must guard against this rebellious spirit that is seeking to attach itself, that is seeking to attack our holy passions, our holy zeal for the Lord, that is seeking to attack the God purpose that is within every one of us. How many know that we are the gatekeepers of our desires? We are the gatekeepers of our desires that lead to our holy living or lack thereof. The word rebel or rebellion can be defined as resisting authority. It is a strong will that serves a person's own law and fleshly desires. Other words that are associated with rebellion are contrary, defiant, disobedience, and willful. The Holy Spirit urges us to not allow defiance, disobedience, rebellion to enter our hearts towards the Word of God, towards his standards and his guidance and direction. There are so many scriptures. There are literally hundreds of scriptures in his word that speak to our hearts being devoted, loyal, obedient, steadfast, full of truth, undivided in our first passion being towards him. God's passionate love is all-consuming for his church, for his bride. And his plan is greater than ours, but our hearts have to be united with his and ready to follow his way. A couple of verses tonight that speak to the danger of a rebellious spirit. In Job 24, verse 13, there are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its paths. Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. If there is any rebellion that lives within us, the river of God is not able to flow into or out of us. There is a spiritual wilderness where we will find ourselves, a spiritual dryness. 1 Samuel 15:23, perhaps one of the most common verses on rebellion that I'm sure we've all heard before. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. This is how serious the Lord views rebellion. He likens it to witchcraft and stubbornness as a form of idolatry, a form of worshiping self. And the danger of having a heart that is rebellious is that we step outside of God's favor. We step outside of God's protection, outside of an eternity with him. The Lord loves us so much that he is looking to shape our hearts so that they are yielded and surrendered to him, submissive, gentle, and obedient. Our main verse tonight is from Psalm 73, verse 26. You can turn there in your Bibles. It's on the screen, but it's always good to open the Word of God if you have your Bibles. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. We eagerly desire to be steadfast. That is the truth. That is the genuine desire within us as believers. But have you ever experienced your flesh failing you in this desire? Have you ever experienced the holy passions within your heart being divided? The spiritual warfare, the temptations strongly attacking the very center of your passions to make you weak, to cause you to fail in the God purpose that is within you. There are rebellious tendencies that will seek to attack the strength of your heart and your faithfulness. How can we protect them? How can we offer up the rebellious tendencies and ensure that God is the strength and the portion of our hearts? Number one tonight is seek the Lord first. This may be obvious to us tonight, but have your fleshly desires ever come before your desire for the Lord? Have you ever found at any point in your life that the center of your heart's passions, they do not reflect a passion for Jesus first? Rebel tendencies can seep into our hearts through our passions and desires if we are not careful to guard against them. To keep the fire of our hearts kindled and burning for Jesus Christ above every other desire. Deuteronomy 11, verse 6, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now, we may think tonight that we would never, ever turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. But if we truly desire to experience the full glory of God, the full power of his anointing to see breakthrough, it requires our highest passion to be upon seeking Christ first. Our priorities, our schedules, our relationships, they all need to reflect a passion upon seeking after Jesus and his kingdom first in our lives. This verse says that our hearts can deceive us. Other passions and desires will seek to enter our lives, won't they? And these other passions and desires, they seem to bring a fulfillment. But we must guard and be careful that these other passions, these other desires, they do not become as idols if they are higher than our passion for Christ. Our verse from Psalm 73, 26, it encourages us to ensure that the Lord is the strength of our hearts and our portion forever. The word portion in this verse, it actually means choice. It means territory, inheritance, chosen. Is the Lord chosen in our hearts tonight? Has he taken up residence so that he or territory within us? Psalm 78, verses 17 to 19, it says, "But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God, and they said, 'Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?'" We are warned in this verse that when we find ourselves in the wilderness, that we do not test the Lord in our hearts. You see, sometimes when we are in the wilderness, it's tempting to ask the question, "Why, Lord? What are you doing? Your plan looks a little bit different than my plan does right about now." And we need to be so careful with these questions that we are not testing the Lord, that we are not asking for our plan, because the truth is that God's plan is not always our plan, but it is higher than our plan, and his ways are higher than our ways. They asked for the food of their fancy. They asked for their will to be done. They asked for what they desired, what they wanted. And the Lord cautions us in this, that when we are in the wilderness, we need to still seek him, to be faithful, to trust him. The verses prior to Psalm 73:26, they give us greater insight into how the Lord wants to strengthen our hearts and be our portion. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3 and 14 to 28. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked," verse 14, "for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." According to these verses, he will be the strength of our heart. He will be our portion. We will seek after him first when we allow the Lord to break the strongholds of envy. This psalmist here was experiencing the dangers of envy, being envious of the prosperity of the wicked. He says that the envy that he had for the prosperity of the wicked, it actually plagued him. And you know, this word envy, it actually goes beyond the word jealousy. To be jealous for something just means that you despise something. You despise something that someone else has, that they have attained in their life. But to be envious actually means that it has become destructive in your life. Envy will cause our character and our behavior to become destructive. And he says the envy he had for the prosperity of the wicked, it plagued him until he went into the sanctuary of God, in verse 17. Until he went into the sanctuary of God, until he set himself to seek the Lord first. And when he did this, when he set his heart to seek after the Lord first, the Lord began to remind him what the future was for the wicked. And when he was reminded of what this future looked like, it says that he was vexed in his mind, that he felt foolish and ignorant for allowing envy and rebellion to enter into his heart. He began to seek the Lord afresh, and it was then that the Lord became the very strength of his heart and his portion. We must guard against envy entering our hearts. It will draw our affection away from seeking the Lord first. It will eventually cause us to be rebellious as we seek after the prosperity of the wicked. Jesus desires to move in power. He is seeking to build his church, to anoint us with his spirit. But he will only do this when we offer up any rebellious tendencies, and when we call upon him to break the strongholds of divided passions, to break the power of any idols that have taken up residence within us. The Lord desires our entire hearts, our highest affection to be upon him, because he has a plan, because he loves us, and most importantly, just because he is worthy of this. As we seek him first in our schedules, in our decisions, in our priorities and our desires, it will ensure a soft, undivided, loyal, faithful heart to the passions of Christ. Number two tonight is serve the Lord first. How we serve the Lord and how we serve others, it flows from what is inside of our hearts. Psalm 73, 26 in the CEV translation, it says, "My body and mind may fail, but you are my strength and my choice forever." The word choice is used for portion in this translation because our portion is our choice. What we choose to have as our portion in our lives is our choice. We choose who we're going to serve and how we're going to serve as we interact with others at work, at home, in our church, in our schools. Are we serving our own agendas, man's agenda, or are we serving the Lord in how we speak to and treat one another? The attitude and the motivation of our heart is important to him. And in all that we do, he urges us to do it as unto him. What kind of a work ethic do we come to work with? Do we show up on time? Are we diligent and respectful? These aspects are related to what lives in our hearts and how we serve as unto the Lord. We either serve ourselves and our own wants, or we serve the Lord and we honor our employer, we honor our families, the family of God. Serving ourselves is a form of rebellion. It is willful and not yielded to the Lord. You are my strength and my choice forever. Do we choose to have the minds of the Lord at all times? Jesus desires tonight, Jesus desires at all times to break the stronghold of serving self, to break that stronghold of pleasing man first, have the rebellious tendency to compromise the standard of the Lord. What enters the heart that can cause us to serve self first? In Numbers 14, verses 26 to 38, the passage is entitled, "The Death Sentence on the Rebels." And it is the account of how Israel refused to enter Canaan, the promised land. God had laid out this land where he'd promised to be with them, to watch over them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet, there is a portion in Scripture where Israel refuses to enter into this land. In the previous chapter, we see how the Lord, it's a familiar story to us, but he sent out spies to scout out this land, the land that he had called them to enter and to inhabit. And the story goes on to tell us, as we have heard so many times before, that 12 spies came back, and only two of those spies had a good report. Only two of the spies were full of faith and expectancy of how God was going to provide and be with them and be faithful to them in this land. But the rest of the 10 spies, they came back with a negative report, with a fearful report. And they began to tell the people of how when they entered into that land and how as they began to spy that land, they began to see all these giants, all of these armies, these enemies that seemed as though they were stronger and fiercer and greater than they were. And as they began to speak of these enemies, it caused the other people, the rest of the people, to become afraid. And then we look and see in chapter 14 of how they became fearful. And what happens is that they begin to murmur and complain against the Lord. In verse 9, Joshua and Caleb, they try and calm the people down from their murmuring, from their complaining, from their fear. And they began to say, "Listen, let's remember what God has done for us. Let's remember that God has promised that he will be with us. Let's remember his faithfulness and all the great works that he has done for us up to this point." And Moses begins to intercede for these rebellious hearts. He begins to intercede on their behalf. And the Lord says to him, "How long will these people people reject me and not believe in me after all the miracles and faithfulness I have shown to them. He said that those who complained and allowed unbelief and fear to win would not be allowed to enter the land. Let's read verses 24 and 26 to 28 together. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me?" It's not the unbelievers who are complaining. It's the congregation of the Lord who is complaining against him. It says, "I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." In this passage, the Lord equates a complaining spirit with that of a rebellious spirit. You see, when we complain about not getting our way, when we look at our situation and we begin to murmur against the Lord, we begin to complain and say, "Lord, that's not what I prayed for. Lord, why aren't you doing what I have asked you to do? I've done everything right. Why are you not answering my prayers in the way that I have asked for you to answer them?" We need to be careful that in these questions that it does not become as murmuring and complaining against the Lord, for it is a spirit of rebellion that has entered our hearts. When we complain about not getting our way, we become self-serving. It is rebellion against trusting the Lord that his plans and his ways are higher than ours. When we are in the wilderness, we need to guard against a complaining spirit, a heart that would want to serve self-interest first. We need to guard against the thoughts and the words that would say, "But I deserve," or "I don't deserve." We need to guard against those. If these attitudes are not quickly attended to, they can turn into rebellious and stiff-necked actions. Perhaps you're here tonight and these words might be difficult to hear. But let me say something else that the Lord says later on in Psalms that we're going to read at the end. We serve a God who is fighting to release mercy and kindness over rebellious hearts. That is the truth of his word. That is his promise for us tonight, that he is fighting to release his mercy and his kindness over those rebellious tendencies. He will release his mercy if we would remember his faithfulness, if we would choose to serve him first in all that we do. It says in that passage that Caleb had a different spirit, that the Lord noticed the different spirit that was within him. Caleb chose to serve the Lord first, to believe in him, to believe that he was going to move and that he was going to be with him. And the Lord calls for us to have a different spirit within us, a different spirit than the naysayers, a different spirit than those who have allowed fear, complaining, and murmuring to get a hold of them. These Israelites should have chosen to serve the Lord instead of their fears. They should have chosen to serve each other with their faith and by strengthening one another. Do we serve his kingdom, his house first? Do we serve others as unto the Lord? Matthew 20, verse 16, "So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen." John 3, verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." These verses encourage us to protect our hearts, our attitudes from becoming self-serving, rebellious, to serve the Lord first, and it will be evident as we serve one another. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And the final thing tonight, we must offer up our rebel hearts by, number three, glorify the Lord first. Psalm 73, 26 in the AMPC. "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever." This aspect of glorifying the Lord speaks of our worship. When we set our hearts to worship him first, to glory only in the cross of Jesus Christ, it will protect our hearts from glorifying ungodliness. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 9. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. The rebel heart is very clear in these verses. It is a heart that enjoys ungodliness. Pride serves as their necklace. They have so much abundance of earthly treasures that it becomes a form of worship for them. Now, we know that it is not an actual sin to own stuff, to be able to even afford luxurious items, but it becomes a sin when we place such an importance upon them that we begin to worship and glorify them. When we glorify self, when we glorify the money, the fame, the opulence, we are no longer glorifying the Lord. And Jesus is desiring and wants to break that stronghold that is over people's lives. He wants to break the stronghold of glorifying self, of worshiping anything or anyone above him. What reward and what glory are we working for? Who and what do we glorify? What enters our heart that causes us to glorify ourself first? Pride, envy, a boastful spirit, scoffing, and lofty words. We must protect our worship. Can you say amen? We need to protect our worship. We have to protect our humility so that we glory only in the Lord Jesus Christ and not our earthly treasures. Psalm 66, verse 7. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Let's have the worship team return this time. In John chapter 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he is telling them of his Holy Spirit, whom he is going to send after he ascends into heaven. John 16, verse 14, speaking of his Holy Spirit, he says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Seeing God in all that we do, giving him thanks and glory in every area. The Holy Spirit is the one who will guide us into experiencing the glory of Christ, into experiencing his presence. And if we offer up our rebel hearts, if we offer up these tendencies in our lives that seek glory for ourselves, it says that the Holy Spirit will cause us to see God in all that we do, and we will be able to give him thanks and glory in every area at all times. Our heart needs to be empty of seeking any glory for ourselves, of glorifying anything above Jesus Christ. Can we say at any point, Lord, be glorified? Show me how to glorify you even in this situation. Galatians 6, verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Come on, we boast in the cross, and that's it. That is the only thing, the only one that we boast in, that we glorify in. Every time we glory in the Lord, our willfulness will break. I'd like to leave us with this passage tonight. Psalm 78 is entitled, God's Kindness to Rebellious Israel. I'm so thankful that his mercy reaches far beyond what we deserve. Verses 4 to 7, read this. It is a mandate upon our lives about the legacy that the Lord is calling us to leave to this generation and to every generation that follows. It says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. this mandate is upon every one of our lives. If you profess to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, God calls us to teach this generation, to teach our children, our spiritual family that we are surrounded with, that we would leave a legacy, that our legacy would be this, that our children, that our spiritual family would always put their hope in God, that they would never forget His works and His faithfulness, that they would set their hearts aright, is what it says, and that they would set their spirits to faithfulness in Him, that they would destroy every rebellious tendency that seeks to come against their lives in the name of Jesus. Listen, God is fighting for His house. He is fighting for the legacy of His kingdom. He is fighting for the future of His kingdom. And our hearts are related to this. We must protect them from becoming stiff-necked and forgetting God's faithfulness. Lord, would You take our rebel hearts and would You make them Yours tonight? I pray that that is Your prayer tonight. Psalm 73:26 in the Passion Translation. Listen to how this translation puts it. Lord, so many times I fail. I fall into disgrace. But when I trust in You, I have a strong and glorious presence protecting and anointing me forever. You are all that I need. Can you say amen? The truth tonight is that every time we seek the Lord first, the rebel heart will lose its hold over us. Every time we choose to serve the Lord first, the rebel heart will lose its power. Every time we worship the Lord, the powers of darkness that seek to get a hold of our holy passions and our holy priorities, they are broken in the name of Jesus. In our constant praise and our focus on God, God will be the strength of our hearts and our choice portion forevermore. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together tonight. I want to ask this question of each one of us. Is there anything that the Lord is calling you to lay down? Is there anything that you have been seeking in your life? Anything that you have been serving in your life, glorifying in your life, and the Lord would be calling you or stirring you tonight to lay it down? Is there something that He has been speaking to you about, a change that you need to make happen? Perhaps it scares you. That's okay. Is there a change that He is calling you to make, but the pull of the temptation seems to be too strong? Is the Holy Spirit stirring you in any area that you need to offer up tonight that you've been delaying? This is the time when we need to say yes to the Lord with no buts associated with it. We don't say yes, but Lord. We don't say yes, but can we do it this way, or can it be later, or why do I have to give up so much? The Lord wants to take the but out of our yes tonight, that we would just say yes to You, Lord. Can you pray these words tonight? Let's close our eyes together. Take my heart, Lord. Take my very life, Lord, and change me however You need to, however You desire, that You would be able to release greater power, greater anointing, and greater breakthrough. And we prophesy the living Word of God into every one of our spirits tonight. And we say that God is, not will be, but God is the strength of our hearts and our portion forever in the name of Jesus. Let's worship Him tonight. But if you need to respond, if you want prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you tonight. But let's offer up our hearts afresh to the Lord and believe for this greater anointing as we do. Amen.